They praised the Lord and gave thanks as they sang, "Our glorious Lord will be good to his people forever." Everyone started blowing trumpets and shouting praises to the Lord, because work on the temple had begun. Many of the older priests and Levites and heads of families had seen the former temple, and they cried aloud. Others were happy and celebrated with trumpet blasts and joyful shouts. The trumpets could be heard far away, but up close, the sound of weeping and crying drowned out the sound of the trumpets. Foreigners want to help rebuild the temple. When the enemies of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin heard the trumpets, they came to Jerusalem to see what was happening. They found out that the people who had come back from Babylonia were rebuilding the temple of the Lord God of Israel. So they went to Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the family leaders and said, "Let us help. Ever since King Esarhaddon of Assyria brought us here, we have worshipped your Lord and offered sacrifices to him." But Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the family leaders answered, "You cannot take part in building a temple for our God, the Lord of Israel. We will build it ourselves, just as King Cyrus of Persia has commanded us." But these enemies blocked the roads and did everything else possible to make the people of Judah slow down or stop building. The enemies made secret plans and public speeches accusing the Jews, and they even caused riots. And so the people of Judah could not work on the temple for the last 2 years of Cyrus's rule. Work on the temple starts again. Chapter 6. 2 years after Darius became king, the Lord God of Israel told the prophets Haggai and Zechariah to speak in his name to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and they did. Then Zerubbabel the governor and Joshua the priest urged the people to start working on the temple again, and God's prophets encouraged them. But Governor Sisinnes of southwest Syria province and his assistant Sathrabuzanes got together with some of their officials and went to Jerusalem. They said to the people, "Who told you to rebuild this temple? Give us the names of the workers." But God was kind to the Jewish leaders, because he was looking after the Jews who had come back from being exiles. And so the governor and his group decided not to make the people stop working until they could report to Darius and get his advice. Governor Sisinnes, Sathrabuzanes, and their advisers sent a report to Darius, which said, "Greetings, King Darius. We went to Jerusalem in Judah, where the leaders of the Jews who came from Babylon now live. The Jews are building a large temple for the Lord, and are using huge stones and expensive wooden beams set in the walls. Everyone is working carefully but quickly, and this beautiful building is going up fast. We ask those in charge to tell us who gave them permission to rebuild the temple. We also asked for the names of their leaders, so that we could write them down for you. The leaders claim that the Jews are the servants of the Lord who created heaven and earth, and they said they were rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago by a famous and powerful king of Israel. They went on to say that their ancestors had sinned and made the Lord angry, and so he had let them be captured by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia, who took them away as captives to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also tore down and burned their temple, then took its sacred gold and silver articles to Babylon and put them in the temple of his own god. Finally, the Jewish leaders said that during the first year that Cyrus was king of Babylonia, he wrote out orders for the Lord's temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, where it had stood before. Cyrus also gave Zerubbabel and Governor Sheshbazzar the sacred gold and silver articles for them to put back in the temple. Sheshbazzar then went to Jerusalem and laid the foundation for the temple, and the work is still going on. Your Majesty, please have your servants look up the old records in Babylon. Tell them to find out if King Cyrus really did give orders to rebuild the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. Then you can let us know if he did, and whether or not you approve of those orders. Of course, we will do whatever you think we should. The Order of King Cyrus is rediscovered. King Darius ordered someone to go through the old records kept in Babylonia. Finally, a scroll was found in Ecbatana, a fortress city in Media province, and it said, "In the first year Cyrus was king, he gave the following orders. The Lord's temple in Jerusalem is to be rebuilt, so that the Jews can offer sacrifices there on the altar where the fire is always burning. The temple is to be built 90 feet high and 90 feet wide, with one row of new wooden beams for each 3 rows of large stones. The wood is to come from the region near Jerusalem. The royal treasury will pay for everything. Gather together all the sacred gold and silver things that Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylonia. Then return these things to their proper places." King Darius orders the work to continue. King Darius sent a message to Governor Sisinnes of southwest Syria province, to Sathrabuzanes, and to their advisers. He warned them to stay away from the temple in Jerusalem, and to let Governor Zerubbabel and the other Jewish leaders rebuild the temple where it stood before. Then he continued, "I want the Jews who return to Judah to complete the work on this temple. And until they do, I command you to give them all the help you can. Starting right now, you will be very careful to give Zerubbabel part of the tax money you collect from southwest Syria province. He will use this money to buy bulls, rams, and lambs for sacrifices. The priests in Jerusalem will tell you how much wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil they need each year to offer the daily sacrifices. And don't argue over how much they need. Just give them what they ask for. I want them to be able to offer sacrifices of wine to God Most High and to pray for me and my family. If any of you don't obey the orders written above, or if you try to change what I have said, a wooden beam will be pulled out of your house and sharpened on one end. Then it will be driven through your body, and I will take over everything that belonged to you. I ask the Lord who is worshipped in Jerusalem to destroy any king or nation who tries to harm his temple. I, King Darius, give these orders, and I expect them to be followed carefully." The Temple is Dedicated. Chapter 7. Governor Sisinnes, Sathrabuzanes, and their advisers obeyed King Darius. They made sure the work on the temple was done properly, and they helped the Jewish leaders and temple officials. The prophets Haggai and Zechariah encouraged everyone by their preaching, and the work went along smoothly. So the temple was completed at the command of the Lord God of Israel, and with the approval of Kings Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes of Persia. On the 23rd day of the month of Adar, in the 6th year of the rule of Darius, the temple was finished. The people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and everyone else who had returned from exile came together and followed all the instructions Moses had written. 100 bulls, 200 rams, and 400 lambs were offered as sacrifices at the dedication of the temple. Also 12 goats were sacrificed as sin offerings for the nation of Israel, one goat for each of the leaders of the tribes. Guards were stationed at each gate, and the priests and the Levites were arranged by families in their assigned places. They were dressed in their special robes, and they carried out the instructions that Moses had written about offering sacrifices and gifts to the Lord God of Israel. The Passover. The people of Israel, who would return from exile, celebrated Passover on the 14th day of the first month. The priests, the Levites, and many of the people had gone through a ceremony to make themselves acceptable to worship God. The Levites killed the Passover lambs for those who had returned, including the priests and themselves. The sacrifices were eaten by the Israelites who had returned, and also by the neighboring people who had given up the sinful customs of other nations in order to worship the Lord. For 7 days they celebrated the festival of thin bread. Everyone was happy and praised the Lord, because he had made sure that the king of Persia would help them build the temple. Ezra comes to Jerusalem. Chapter 8. Much later, when Artaxerxes was king of Persia, Ezra came to Jerusalem from Babylonia. Ezra was the son of Seraiah and the grandson of Azariah. His other ancestors were Hilkiah, Shallum, Zadok, Ahitub, Amariah, Uzzi, Bucki, Abishua, Phinehas, Eleazar, and Aaron, the first priest. Ezra was an expert in the law that the Lord God of Israel had given to Moses. The king respected Ezra and would give him anything he asked for. Other Jews, including priests, Levites, musicians, and temple guards and servants, came to Jerusalem with Ezra. They left Babylonia on the first day of the first month of the 7th year that Artaxerxes was king, and arrived on the first day of the 5th month. The Lord had brought Ezra safely to Jerusalem. Ezra knew everything that the law of the Lord commanded. He obeyed it all, and he taught the people of Israel how to obey it too. Why Ezra came to Jerusalem. One day, King Artaxerxes told a servant to write down some of his commands. Then he gave a copy to Ezra, who was a priest and an expert in the law of the Lord. In this written copy, Artaxerxes said, "Greetings from King Artaxerxes to Ezra the priest, who understands the law of the Lord. I have decided to show special kindness to the Jews. And so any of the people of Israel or their priests or Levites in my kingdom may go with you to Jerusalem if they want to. My 7 trusted friends, who are my closest advisors, agree with me. You may go to Jerusalem and Judah to find out if the laws of your God are being obeyed. When you go, take the gold and silver that I and my trusted friends have promised to give to the Lord, the God of Israel. Take all the gold and silver that you collect from Babylonia. Also take the gifts that your own people have given for the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Use the money to buy bulls, rams, lambs, grain, olive oil, and wine. Then sacrifice them on the altar at the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. After this, you and your relatives may use the remaining gold and silver for whatever pleases your God. Give the Lord your God the sacred things that have been contributed for use in his temple. And if you think of anything else that is needed for the temple, you may have the money you need from the royal treasury. Ezra, you are a priest and an expert in the law of the Most High God, and I order all the treasurers in southwest Syria province to help you, they will be allowed to give as much as 7,500 pounds of silver, 500 bushels of wheat, 550 gallons of wine, 550 gallons of olive oil, and as much salt as is needed. They must carefully provide everything God's law demands for his temple. He is God Most High, and I don't want him to be angry with me or with my descendants, who will rule as kings after me. I also want you to know that no priests or Levites, and no singers, guards, servants, or anyone else who works in the temple, will have to pay any kind of taxes. No one is allowed to change this law. Ezra, use the wisdom God has given you, and choose rulers and judges to govern the people of southwest Syria province according to God's law. And you must have God's law taught to anyone who doesn't know it. Everyone who disobeys God's law or the king's law will be punished by a heavy fine, or prison, or death. Ezra praises God. Because King Artaxerxes was so kind, Ezra said, "Give praise to the Lord. He is the only one who could make the king want to honor the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. And because of what the Lord has done, I am greatly respected by the king and his advisers, his trusted friends, and his officials. The Lord has helped me, and I have been able to bring many people of Israel back to Jerusalem." The families who came back with Ezra. Ezra said, "Artaxerxes was king of Persia when I led the following leaders of the family groups from Babylonia to Jerusalem. Gershom, of the Phinehas family. Gamaliel, of the Ithamar family. Hattish, son of Shechaniah, from King David's family. Zechariah, and 150 other men from the family of Parosh, who had family records. Elihoenai, son of Zerahiah, with 200 men of the Pahath-Moab family. Shechaniah, son of Jehaziel, with 300 men of the Zattu family. Obed, son of Jonathan, with 250 men of the Aden family. Jeshea, son of Gathaliah, with 70 men of the Elam family. Zariah, son of Michael, with 70 men of the Shephatiah family. Obadiah, son of Jehiel, with 212 men of the Joab family. Shalomith, son of Josephiah, with 160 men of the Bani family. Zechariah, son of Bebai, with 28 men of the Bebai family. Johanan, son of Hakatan, with 110 men of the Azgad family. Eliphelet, Jewel, and Shemaiah, who actually returned later with 70 men of the Adonikam family. Uthai, son of Astalkiris, with 70 men of the Bigvai family. Ezra finds Levites for the temple. Ezra said, "I brought everyone together by the Thiras River, where we camped for 3 days while I talked to the people and found out who had come. There was not one priest or Levite in the whole group. So I sent for some wise leaders, whose names were Eliezer, Iduel, Maasmus, Elnathan, Shemaiah, Jarib, Nathan, Elnathan, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Then I sent them to Iddo, the official in charge of the treasury. I told them to ask him and his relatives and the others there to send us priests to work in the Lord's temple. God was helping us with his mighty power, and he had them send us a skillful man named Sherebiah, who was a Levite from the family of Mahlai. 18 of his sons and other relatives came with him. We were also sent Hashabiah, and the two brothers, Anunus and Jeshaiah from the family of Hananiah, along with their 20 sons. In addition, 220 temple servants came along to help the Levites. The ancestors of these servants had been chosen years ago by King David and his officials, and they were all listed by name. Ezra asks the people to go without eating and to pray. Ezra said, "There beside the river, I told the young men to go without eating and to pray to the Lord, asking him to bring us and our children and our livestock safely to Jerusalem. I was ashamed to ask the king to send foot soldiers and cavalry to protect us against enemies. After all, we had told the king, if people truly worship the Lord, his mighty power will take care of them in every way. So we again asked the Lord for his protection, and he showed mercy to us." The gifts for the temple. Ezra said, "I chose 12 of the leading priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their relatives. Then I weighed the gifts that had been given for the Lord's temple, and I divided them among the 12 priests I had chosen. There were gifts of silver and gold and other things, and they had been contributed by the king, his advisers, and the people of Israel. In all, there were 25 tons of silver, 100 silver articles weighing 150 pounds, 7,500 pounds of gold, 20 gold bowls, and 12 bronze objects that were as shiny as gold. I said to the priests, 'You belong to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and these things also belong to him, because his people made sacred promises to give him this silver and gold. Be sure to guard these gifts and keep them safe until you reach Jerusalem. Then take them inside the Lord's temple and deliver them to the leaders of the priests and Levites and to the heads of the Israelite families.' The priests and the Levites then took charge of the gifts so they could take them to the Lord's temple." The return to Jerusalem. Ezra said, "On the 12th day of the first month, we left the Thiras River and started for Jerusalem. Our God watched over us all the way to Jerusalem, and as we traveled along, he rescued us from our enemies. After we had been in Jerusalem for 3 days, we took the silver and gold to the temple, where it was weighed and turned over to the priest Meremoth, son of Uriah. With him were Eleazar, son of Phinehas, and the Levites Jozabad, son of Jeshua, and Moeth, son of Binui. Everything was counted, weighed, and recorded. Those who had returned from exile offered sacrifices to the Lord, the God of Israel. 12 bulls were offered for all Israel. 96 rams and 72 lambs were offered on the altar. And 12 goats were sacrificed to give thanks to the Lord. Some of those who had returned took the king's orders to the royal officials and governors of southwest Syria province. Then these officials gave honor to the Jews and to the temple of God." Ezra condemns mixed marriages. Ezra said, "Later the Jewish leaders came to me and said, 'Many of the Israelites, including some of the rulers, the priests, and the Levites, are living just like the people around them. They are even guilty of the same kinds of horrible sins as those committed by the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Edomites. In addition, Israelite men have married foreign women and have let their sons do the same thing. Some of our own officials and leaders were among the first men to commit this disgusting sin. and now God's holy people are mixed with foreigners. This news made me so angry that I ripped my clothes and my sacred robe and tore hair from my head and beard. Then I just sat down, deeply worried and full of sorrow and grief over this sin. Many of our people really wanted to obey the Lord of Israel, and they gathered around me as I sat there. Ezra's Prayer. Ezra said, "At the time of the evening sacrifice, I stood up, with my clothing and sacred robe torn. I hadn't eaten anything all day. Then I knelt down, and lifting my arms to the Lord, I prayed, 'I am ashamed and confused, Lord. Since the time of our ancestors, the sins and mistakes of our people have swept over us like a flood that reaches up to the heavens. And we are still committing terrible sins. That's why we and our relatives, our kings and our priests, have often been defeated by other kings. They have killed some of us and made slaves of others. They have taken our possessions and made us ashamed, just as we are today. And now, Lord, for a short time you have shown kindness to us by letting a few of us settle here and come to your sacred temple, where there is light for our nation once again. All the time we were in slavery, you provided food for us. Even when we were slaves, you never turned your back on us. And because of you, the kings of Persia were kind and gave us food. They have given honor to your temple and are allowing us to rebuild Jerusalem. We can live safely here and in the rest of Judah. Our Lord, what can we say now? Even though you gave us all this, we have disobeyed the commands that were given to us by your servants, the prophets. They said that the land you gave us was full of sinful heathens, who never stopped doing disgusting things. And we were warned not to let our daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters. Your prophets also told us never to make peace with those foreigners. You wanted us to become strong and to enjoy the good things in the land, then someday to leave it to our children forever. All of our troubles happened because of our terrible sins. But you did not punish us as much as we deserved, and you have brought some of us back to our homeland. But we rejected your laws and married foreigners who do disgusting things. You were so angry at us before that you could have destroyed us all. You didn't, though. You were faithful and allowed some of us to survive. But now we admit that we have sinned and are not fit to worship you." The Plan for Ending Mixed Marriages. Ezra said, "While I was lying face down in front of the temple, praying with tears in my eyes and confessing the sins of the people of Israel, a large number of men, women, and children gathered around me and cried bitterly. Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, spoke up and said, 'Ezra, we have sinned against the Lord by marrying these foreign women. But there is still hope for the people of Israel if we follow your advice and the advice of others who obey the law of the Lord. We must promise the Lord that we will divorce our foreign wives and send them away, together with their children. Ezra, get up and do something to solve this problem. We will support you, even if you have to be severe with us.' So I got up and made the leaders of the priests and Levites and the leaders of Israel swear that they would follow this plan." Chapter 9. Then I left the courtyard of the temple and went to the living quarters of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib, where I spent the night. I continued to mourn over the terrible sins the people had committed, and I did not eat or drink a thing. The leaders of the people sent a message to all the men who had returned from Babylonia and were now living in Jerusalem and Judah. It told them to meet in Jerusalem within 2 days or three at the most, or else their livestock would be taken and sacrificed to the Lord. In addition, those men would no longer be considered part of the people that had returned from Babylonia. 3 days later, on the 20th day of the 9th month, everyone from Judah and Benjamin came to Jerusalem. They all went to the temple courtyard, where they sat down, shivering in the winter rain. I stood up and said, "You have broken God's law by marrying foreign women, and you have made the whole nation even more guilty than it already was. Now you must confess your sins to the Lord God of our ancestors. You must give him honor and obey him. Divorce your foreign wives, and don't have anything to do with the rest of the foreigners who live around here." Everyone in the crowd shouted, "We will do what you say, but we can't just stand out here in the open. Many of us have sinned, and the matter can't be settled in only a day or two. Why can't our officials stay on in Jerusalem and take care of this for us? Let everyone who has married a foreign woman meet here at a certain time with leaders and judges from their own towns. If we take care of this problem, God will surely stop being so terribly angry with us." Jonathan, son of Asahel, and Jaaziah, son of Tikva, were put in charge of the plan, and Meshullam, Levi, and Shabbathai were appointed as judges along with them. Everyone who had returned from exile did what the plan required them to do. I myself chose a group of men who were heads of the families, and I listed their names. They started looking into the matter on the first day of the 10th month, and they did not finish until the first day of the 1st month of the following year. The men who had foreign wives. Here is a list of the priests who had agreed to divorce their foreign wives and to sacrifice a ram as a sin offering. Maaseiah, Eleazar, Jarib, and Jodan, from the family of Joshua and his brothers. Hanani, Zebediah, Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Azariah, from the family of Immer. And Eloenai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nathanael, Gedaliah, and Salthus, from the family of Pasher. Those Levites who had foreign wives were Jozabad, Shimei, Kaleah, also known as Kalita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Jonah. Eliashib and Zachar were temple singers who had foreign wives. The temple guards Shalem and Telem had foreign wives. Here is a list of the others from Israel who had foreign wives. Ramiah, Isaiah, Malchijah, Midjamin, Eleazar, Asabias, and Benaiah from the family of Parash. Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jezreelis, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah from the family of Elam. Eliadas, Eliashib, Athaniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, Zerdeah, from the family of Zamoth. Jehohanan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Emethus, from the family of Bebai. Alamus, Mamucus, Adaiah, Jashub, Sheel, and Jeremoth, from the family of Mani. Naathus, Moosias, Lacunus, Naedus, Bescaspasmus, Sesthel, Belnuas, and Manasseus from the family of Adai. Elionus, Asaias, Melchias, Sabaeus, and Simon Cozumius from the family of Anan. Mattanei, Mattata, Zabad, Eliphelet, Manasseh, and Shimei from the family of Hashem. Jeremiah, Mamdias, Miras, Joel, Mamdai, Bedia, Vanaya, Carabazion, Eliashib, Mamatanimus, Eliasis, Binui, Elialus, Shimei, Shelemiah, and Nethaniah from the family of Benai. Sheshai, Azarel, Azael, Samatus, Zambris, and Joseph from the family of Azorah. Mazatias, Zabad, Iddo, Joel, and Benaiah from the family of Numa. These men divorced their foreign wives, then sent them and their children away. Ezra reads God's law to the people. Ezra said, "The priests, the Levites, and the other Israelites settled in Jerusalem and in the villages of the country. Then on the first day of the seventh month, the people came together in the open area in front of the east gate of the temple. Since I was the chief priest and had studied the laws that the Lord God of Israel had given to Moses, the people asked me to bring out the law and read it to them. This way, the priests and the whole crowd of men and women could hear what it said. I stood on a wooden platform that had been built for this occasion. I had been given the place of honor in the center, with Mattathiah, Shema, Ananias, Azariah, Uriah, Hezekiah, and Baal-Samus standing to my right, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Lothasubus, Nabariah, and Zechariah to my left. Everyone in the crowd stood when I picked up the book of God's law and opened it. And after I gave thanks to the Lord All-Powerful, the Most High God, everyone said, Amen. Then they lifted their hands and bowed down to worship the Lord. From early morning till noon, I read the law of Moses to them, and they listened carefully. After this, the Levites Jeshua, Aniath, Sherebiah, Jadenus, Akab, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Mianus, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peleah helped teach the law to the crowd by reading it and explaining what it meant. The people started crying when God's law was read to them. Then the governor spoke to me, to the Levites who were teaching, and to the crowd. He said, "This is a special day for the Lord. So when you leave the temple, enjoy your good food and wine, and share some with those who didn't have anything to bring. Don't be sad. The Lord will make us strong again." The Levites told the crowd, "This is a sacred day. Don't be sad." Hearing God's law had encouraged the people. And so when they returned to their homes, they celebrated by eating and drinking and by sharing their food with those in need.
This ends 1st Esdras. And now, 2nd Esdras.
2nd Esdras. About this book. Esdras is another form of the name Ezra. The book of 2nd Esdras is written as a series of seven visions given to Ezra the priest during the rule of King Artaxerxes of Persia, when many of the Jews were forced to live in exile in Media province of the Persian Empire. The visions were explained by an angel and concerned evil and suffering in the world, God's control of history, the end of time, and God's final judgment. Second Esdras was probably written in sections by different authors after the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. Part was written in Hebrew and part in Greek, but there are no longer any copies of the Hebrew or Greek, and so the CEV translates Second Esdras from Latin. Second Esdras showed its readers that the problems they faced with the Romans were the same kind that their ancestors had faced with the Babylonians. But the book encouraged the Lord's people to trust him. Chapter 1. I am Ezra the prophet, the son of Seraiah, and the grandson of Azariah. I belong to the Levi tribe, because my ancestors go all the way back to Aaron, and include Hilkiah, Shallum, Zadok, Ahitub, Ahijah, Phinehas, Eli, Amariah, Azariah, Meremoth, Arna, Uzzi, Borith, Abishua, Phinehas, and Eleazar, son of Aaron. I wrote this second book during the rule of King Artaxerxes of Persia, while I was a prisoner in Media province. The Lord complains to Ezra. One day the Lord said to me, Ezra, go and remind the people of Israel of the wicked things they have done, and tell them to warn their children and grandchildren how my own people have sinned against me. In fact, they have become more sinful than their ancestors, because they have stopped worshiping me and started offering sacrifices to foreign gods. I rescued the Israelites from Egypt, where they were slaves. And now they have made me angry by refusing to listen to my advice. Pull out your hair to show your sorrow. Then shout the terrible things that will happen to the Israelites. They deserve to be punished, because they have rebelled against me and refused to obey my law. I can't put up with these people any longer. I've done enough for them. I defeated king after king, and I completely destroyed the king of Egypt and his entire army. I conquered every nation that attacked Israel, and even scattered the people of the cities of Tyre and Sidon through the east. I have killed all of Israel's enemies. The Lord will abandon Israel. The Lord said, Ezra, tell these people that I, the Lord, am saying, I am the one who brought you through the Red Sea, and who made safe roads where there were no roads at all. I appointed Moses as your leader, and Aaron as your priest. I gave you a flaming fire to light your way, and you watched as I did great things for you. But you have still forgotten me. I, the Lord, have spoken. I, the Lord All-Powerful, also sent quails to show that I would take care of you. I provided you with camps where you could be safe, but all you did was complain. I destroyed your enemies, and you refused to celebrate and honor me. All you've ever done is grumble. Have you forgotten how many times I blessed you with good things? And when you were hungry and thirsty in the desert, do you remember that you said to me, Did you bring us out into the desert to kill us? We would rather have stayed on as slaves in Egypt than to die out here. I felt sorry for you when I heard your moaning. So I gave you manna, the bread of angels, and you ate it. When you were thirsty, I split open a rock, and all the water you needed flowed out. And I gave you shade trees to protect you from the heat. I divided rich farmland among you, and forced out the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Philistines. What else could I have done for you? I, the Lord, have spoken. When you were in the desert at the stream of bitter water, you were thirsty and insulted me. But instead of punishing you with fire for what you said, I threw a piece of wood into the water and made it fit to drink. What should I do with you, people of Israel and Judah? You refuse to obey me, and so I will turn to other nations and make them my people, and they will obey my laws. You have abandoned me. Now I will abandon you. I won't have pity on you, not even when you beg for it. I will no longer listen to your prayers. Your hands are stained with blood, because you are always eager to murder someone. You haven't just turned against me. You've turned against yourselves. I, the Lord, have spoken. Israel will no longer be the Lord's people. The Lord said, "People of Israel, I, the Lord all-powerful, have begged you as a parent begs a son or daughter, or as a nursemaid begs a small child. I asked you to be my people, so that I would be your God, and I asked you to be my children, so that I would be your father. I gathered you together just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But what should I do with you now? I won't let you be my people any longer. Even when you offer me sacrifices, I will turn away. I have rejected all your religious celebrations, including your new moon festivals and the ceremonies where you circumcise men and boys. I sent my servants the prophets to you, but you killed them and cut up their dead bodies. I will make you pay for those murders. I, the Lord, have spoken. Your temple is deserted. Now I, the Lord All-Powerful, will force you out of the land, just as wind blows away straw. Your children will not have children, because like you, they ignored my laws and have done what I hate. A new nation is coming, and I will give your homes to its people. They have not yet heard about me, but they will trust me and obey my laws, even though I have never done great things for them. They have not seen the prophets, yet they follow their teachings that you heard long ago. They will be thankful for what I do, and their children will shout for joy. These people have never seen me, but they will know in their hearts that what I say is true. As for you, Father Ezra, be proud when you see these people coming from the east. I will give them the following leaders: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hosea, Amos, Micah, Joel, Obadiah, and Jonah. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and my messenger Malachi. Lonely Jerusalem testifies against God's people. Chapter 2. The Lord said, "I rescued my people Israel from Egypt, where they were slaves, and I sent my servants the prophets to teach them my commands. Yet my people refused to listen to the prophets, and ignored everything that I told them. Jerusalem was like a mother who gave birth to my people, and she said to them, 'Go away, my children, because I am a lonely widow. I was happy while I raised you, but you sinned against the Lord God, even though I told you not to do what was wrong. So you were taken away from me, and I became sad and mournful. I am left completely alone, and there's nothing I can do to help you. So leave me, and ask the Lord to have mercy on you. Father Ezra, I, the Lord, want you to be a witness against my people, just as their mother has been, and tell how they rejected my agreement. Cause trouble for them, and see that Jerusalem is destroyed, so that my people will never have descendants. My people ignored my agreement with them, and I want them scattered among foreign nations and forgotten forever. Assyria is in for trouble. The Lord said, Assyria, you evil nation, you are in for trouble because you let sinners hide in your land. Do you remember what I did to the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah? Their land is now buried under sulfur and ashes. That is how I punish people who disobey me. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have spoken. Jerusalem will be taken from Israel. The Lord said to Ezra, Tell my new people that I will give them the city of Jerusalem after I take it away from Israel. I will also take from Israel my shining glory and will give my new people the temple where I am worshipped forever. These things will no longer belong to Israel. My people will smell the sweetness of the tree that gives life, and they will no longer work or get tired. Ask, and you will receive. Pray that these things will happen soon, and then get ready, because the kingdom has already been prepared for you. Call the sky and the earth as witnesses that I have destroyed wickedness and have created good. I, the living Lord, have spoken. Words of advice for Mother Jerusalem. The Lord said, Jerusalem, I have chosen you to be Israel's mother. So hold your children close and keep them safe. Raise them joyfully, just as a dove raises her young. I, the Lord, will bring those who have died back to life and free them from their tombs, because they are still my people. Mother Jerusalem, don't be afraid. I have chosen you. I will send my servants Isaiah and Jeremiah to help you. They have already suggested that I provide you with 12 trees loaded with all kinds of fruit, 12 springs that flow with milk and honey, and 7 high mountains covered with roses and lilies. These will make your children very happy. Defend widows and protect orphans. Give to the poor and donate clothes to people who have none. Take care of those who are injured or weak, and don't make fun of anyone who is lame. Protect the crippled and help the blind to imagine what my shining glory looks like. Make sure that old people and young children are safe within the city walls. And if you find a dead body, bury it and mark the grave. Then I will give you the place of honor when I raise the dead to life. My people, you must calm down, because your time of rest is coming. Be like a good nursemaid. Feed your children well and keep them safe, so that none of my servants will die. I am holding you responsible for each of them. Don't worry when trouble or misery comes, and when you hear others groan in sadness, be happy and successful. Foreign nations will be jealous of you, but you will be safe because I will protect you. I won't let any of your children end up in the world of the dead. So be glad, Mother Jerusalem. I, the Lord, will rescue you and your children. I will show mercy to your children who are now dead. I will raise them out of their graves and bring them back to life. Hold your children close until I come. Tell them that my mercy and kindness are like springs of water that never run dry. Israel rejects Ezra. Ezra said, I was on Mount Sinai when the Lord told me to go speak to the people of Israel. But when I went there, they rejected me and refused to listen to this message from the Lord. So I said to the nations that would listen, The end of time is coming soon, when your shepherd will come to give you rest that will never end. Be ready, because you will be blessed with the kingdom, and light will shine on you forever. Run from the darkness of these times, and look forward to the happiness that is coming to you. And as my witness, I call on the one who saves me. The Lord appointed him, so welcome him and give thanks. God has invited you into his holy kingdom. Stand up and see how many have been allowed to share the Lord's banquet. The Lord gave dazzling white robes to those who have died and have left this evil world. Mount Zion, it is time for you to accept everyone who has obeyed the law of the Lord and is dressed in white. This is the complete number of your people. The number of the children you wanted is finally known. The Lord chose them from the beginning of time, so pray that the Lord will make them completely holy. Ezra sees a large crowd of people. Ezra said, While I was on Mount Zion, I saw a crowd of people too large to count, and all of them were singing praises to the Lord. In the middle of this crowd was a young man who stood much taller than everyone else, and he was placing a crown on each person's head. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, so I asked an angel, Sir, who are these people? The angel answered, They are the ones who have died and have been given everlasting life. They have been completely loyal to God, and they are now receiving crowns and palm leaves in honor of their victory. Then I asked, Who is the young man giving them the crowns and the palm leaves? The angel replied, He is the Son of God, and they worshipped him while they were still alive. As I began praising the people for being brave and honoring the Lord, the angel said, Go tell my people about the amazing things you have seen the Lord God do. The First Vision. Ezra Complains to the Lord. Chapter 3. 30 years after Jerusalem was destroyed, I was in the city of Babylon, where I was known as Salathiel. As I lay on my bed, I was very disturbed that Jerusalem was in complete ruins, while the Jews of Babylonia were enjoying their wealth. I was so bothered by my thoughts that I complained to God Most High and prayed, Our Lord God, at your command, you alone created the world. You told the dust to form Adam. He was nothing more than a dead body until you breathed life into him and he became a man. You led him into the garden that you had planted with your right hand before you created the earth, and you gave him only one command to obey. But he disobeyed it, and you immediately decided that he and his descendants would not live forever. Countless nations and tribes, clans and families descended from Adam, and every one of them did what they wanted. They ignored your law and did what you said was wrong, yet you did not stop them. But when the time was right, you flooded the world and drowned them. Just as Adam died long ago, everyone else died in that flood, except for one family. You rescued Noah, his family, and his faithful descendants. Soon a large number of nations covered the earth, and they were more sinful than their ancestors. But you chose Abraham to belong to you, and you loved him so much that one night you told only him what would happen at the end of time. You made a solemn agreement and promised Abraham that you would never abandon his descendants. You gave him Isaac, and later you gave Isaac two sons, Jacob and Esau. You chose Jacob as your own, and his descendants became a powerful nation. But you rejected Esau. Later, you rescued Jacob's descendants from Egypt, and you guided them to Mount Sinai. There you covered the land with thick clouds and shook the entire earth. You made the waters deep in the earth tremble and caused everyone to panic. The brightness of your glory then appeared through the four fiery gates, and also in an earthquake, in a strong wind, and in hail, so that you could give your law to Jacob's descendants, the people of Israel. But you did not take away their desire to do evil, or make your law force them to do right. That's why all of Adam's descendants sinned and died, just as Adam died in wickedness. The disease of sin struck everyone, so your law and this wickedness became a part of every person. Soon the bad forced out the good. Years later, you chose your servant David and told him to build a city where you would be worshipped and where sacrifices would be offered to you. The people of Jerusalem did this for a while, but soon they started sinning against you and doing evil, just like their ancestor Adam and his descendants. So you let